Well, it's great to be with you this morning. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Today's Sunday, September the 3rd, 2023. Romans 12 is where we're going to begin. Getting born again is one of the simplest things a person can do, which is to confess or acknowledge or recognize the Lord Jesus, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people, and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's it. One of the simplest things to do, but it is the greatest decision any person could ever make. Because in doing that, at that moment, we have eternal life. We receive God's gift of Holy Spirit, forgiveness of all our sins and all the rights, the privileges and the abilities that we have from becoming a child of God. I've been this past week reviewing some information in the scriptures on the topic of the renewed mind, and I thought we'd look a little bit at that this morning. So we're going to begin, of course, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, meaning your whole life, present your life a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. A living sacrifice, to live for God. Certainly can't do anything for God if we die. He wants us to live. Jesus Christ died for us. A living sacrifice, your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed or fashioned to this world, or conformed or fashioned by this world or this age that we're living in, but instead be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that we could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are some denominations and some Christian groups that focus on the sinful nature of human beings, how broken we are before God. And I mean, it's true. The Bible says there is none righteous. We're all sinners. We're all ungodly. And all of that is a result of what Adam did back in Genesis 3. But why focus on our sinful nature? When we were born with that nature. It's how we came into this earth, with a sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. But when we got born again, we were born with a new nature. So we have two natures. Getting born again doesn't remove our old nature, or as it's called in the Bible, old man nature. But because we have a new nature, we don't have to be held captive and live by that very limited old man nature. We have a choice. We're coming right back here to Romans again, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means a Christian, with Christ in you, it talks about in Colossians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or a new creation, you could say. Old things are passed away. And there are a number of old things that are passed away when we become born again. And maybe we can look at that at another time. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New creature is a new creation. I know this is what God says in his word. We are, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's that new nature that we receive. That's spirit life that we now have. if the old nature was good enough to go through life, why would God need to give us a new nature? If we're just fine with the old nature that we inherited from Adam, just live your life with that old nature, grin and bear it. If that was okay to have, why would we need a new nature? There would be no need for it. And in that verse where it says all things are become new, it should just say things are become new. Because there are some new things that are coming that are not yet here. We haven't been gathered together, have we? No. So, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, things are become new. And all the things that have become new, verse 18, are of God. They're from God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All these new things are from God. What are some of the new things? Well, we see one right here. We're reconciled unto God. If we've been reconciled, that indicates there was a separation. And there was, because of Adam. But part of that new nature, we are now, we're not separated from God anymore. We're reconciled unto God. There is, in Christianity, we'll say, a lack of understanding of the results of Adam's sin. Adam lost spirit life. Remember, God said, the day you eat of, you shall surely die. Adam had spirit life. He lost the life, the spirit life, the loss of life is death. He certainly did. He lost the spirit life that God gave him. He lost the close relationship that that spirit life afforded him. He lost that. It was ruined. Remember, it says after he sinned, he was hiding. He was afraid. There was none of that before he sinned. He had an open, wonderful relationship with God, so much so that God brought him the animals and said, "Hey, Adam, what do you want to call this one?" "Wow, I don't know. It's a pretty long neck. I haven't seen one of those before." They had a close working relationship. That was gone. His sin transferred the dominion over the earth to the devil, the god of this world. Prior to the fall, he had dominion. That was gone. And Adam was removed from that environment that God said was very, very good. He was ejected. And that environment was very good. In that environment before the fall, there was no sickness, there was no death. It was just wonderful. Also, it was a place that he could have lived forever. He was removed to an environment that God called cursed. And the information concerning this is covered in great detail in the Walking in God's Power series. But it was really a horrible time for human beings because everything changed drastically from what God originally wanted for people, us human beings. Not for the giraffes or the turtles or all the wonderful animals there are on this earth. God wanted something special for human beings, and Adam ruined it all. So, what was God going to do? Well, God's plan was to send the Savior, Jesus Christ, to make Holy Spirit available by his accomplishments. And because of Christ's completed work, those who get born again receive God's gift of Holy Spirit, and that's that new nature, along with all the rights, privileges, and abilities that God's Word declares. So, back to Romans 12. So we have this new nature. We're a new creation. I beseech you, chapter 12 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed or fashioned to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we choose to not be conformed to this age or by this age, and choose to renew our minds, this renewing of the mind results in us being transformed from living according to the old nature to the new nature. that we received when we got born again. It's the new you. It's the real you. And the Bible refers to it sometimes as the new man. The more renewing, the more transforming. The less renewing, the less transforming. And the renewing of the mind, simply put, it's putting into our minds the information about the new man, the new creation in us. Or you could put it another way. It's putting into our minds the information about what Christ accomplished for us, putting into our minds our rights, privileges, and abilities, who we really are in Christ. That's our decision to do that, if we want to. It's making a deliberate decision to do that. Well, where do we get that information? Well, not from Fox News. They don't have a segment on, all right, Christians, let me tell you what Christ has accomplished for you. Let me tell you who the real you really is according to God's word. We get that information specifically in the seven church epistles, Romans through Thessalonians. That's where we find who we really are. That's where we find our true identity. So, again, why do some preachers preach about how bad the old nature is, how ungodly we really are, how unrighteous before God we are? If your old nature is reinforced to you over and over and over that you are broken, you are a sinner, you are unrighteous, you are not worthy, if that's reinforced to you over and over, how are you ever going to renew your mind to the new nature and be transformed? You won't. So the book of Romans is just so fantastic. Chapters 1 through 8 of Romans show us what God did about the state of mankind through Jesus Christ. In chapters 9 through 11, we see God's mercy to both Judeans and Gentiles, and how to receive what God made available, specifically how to get saved, how to get born again. Of course, that's in Romans, as you know, chapter 10, verse 9. Confess with your mouth, or acknowledge, or recognize the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So then, beginning here in chapter 12 of Romans, God sets forth that things that we as born-again ones ought to do. And this section, of course, begins with, as we've read twice already, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. That's how this epistle starts. Well, isn't it logical that we would need to know what God has done for us, who we really are? And that's why this chapter starts with, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore. And we used to say a long time ago, what's the therefore, therefore? It's therefore to tell us that what preceded it. So let's go back to Romans 3. Let's just look at a few things. Romans 3. Do I have to renew my mind? No. No, you don't have to do anything. You don't, but it's a good thing to do. In Romans 3, verse 9, what then? Are we, referring to the Judeans, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Big surprise. Yeah, that's part of that old nature that we inherited. And this is from God's point of view, right? This is the state of mankind as a result of Adam's fall. This was not the state of human beings before Adam sinned, right? There is none righteous, it says. The word righteous, which comes up a whole bunch in the book of Romans, the word righteous means to, it's kind of like a legal term. And it means to be just or right according to an established standard of justice. And here we're talking about God's justice. There is no other higher standard than God's justice. So to be righteous is to be right in the sight of God, according to his standard of justice. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. And the word justified is the same word as righteous. It comes from the same word group, and it's translated righteous, righteousness, justified, justification, just. All the same thing, means to be right in the sight of God according to his legal standard. So, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made right in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, right now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Yes, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, by the believing of Jesus Christ, this righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We just learned something great about this new nature. And what did we see? We are righteous in the sight of God. Not by works that we do, but because of Jesus Christ believing, by him believing God and carrying out God's plan, we got born again and God says, you are righteous in my sight. You are right in my sight. But what about all the stuff I screwed up? What's the next verse say? For all have sinned. Join the party. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? Sure. So we're now righteous in the sight of God. Our old nature that we were born with, that every human being is born with that old man nature. That old man nature is not righteous. Nope. This is part of the new nature. Righteous in the sight of God. That's who we are as born again ones, as Christians. We are righteous in the sight of God. So again, why in the world do they preach that you're ungodly, you're a sinner, you're broken, you're no good, you better do a lot of good stuff to try to gain some good from God? How can you renew your mind? How can you feed information to your brain that you are right in the sight of God if your old nature continues to be reinforced to you? You can't. You won't. Verse 21 said, but now the righteousness of God without the law, even the righteousness of God, which is by the believing of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe. Oh my gosh. That's what God said. Then verse 24, being justified freely, or being made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, the payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Remission of sins. Nice. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just or right, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Well, where's boasting then? Nobody could boast, right? It's excluded. By what? Law of works? No, but by the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or made righteous by believing without the deeds of the law. Well, isn't that awesome? No wonder Ephesians says we're saved by grace, not by works. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. In Romans chapter 4, we see a wonderful presentation of the Father of all them that believe. And we get to see the example of Abraham's believing God. And it concludes in verse 23 of chapter 4. Talking about all that's recorded in the Old Testament about Abraham, chapter 4, verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, he paid the price for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification or our righteousness. God raised him from the dead so we could be justified. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, that's real good. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at verse 6 again. Does it say we are yet without strength? Are we yet without strength? Broken, no good, ungodly. No. We were without strength. We were ungodly sinners. That's the old man nature. That's how we came into this world, like that, because of Adam. But now, much more than, verse 9, much more than being now justified. Now I'm righteous in God's sight. By his blood we shall be saved from wrath through him. Righteous in the sight of God. Now we're reading information from God about this new nature that we have, that we received the moment we got born again. We're born with the old nature, but we're born again with a new nature. We have two natures. If we don't know anything about this new nature, how can we live our lives with it? How can we take advantage of it? If we didn't need it, why would God give it to us? All the rights, the privileges, and the abilities that come with this great package of the new birth, being born again, what good is it going to do us if we don't know anything about it? Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were enemies. It doesn't say, well, since you're still an enemy and broken. No, we were. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We already read about that in Corinthians, right? We are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or the reconciliation. The state of mankind, the condition of the nature we were born with because of Adam's sin, was ungodly, sinners, unrighteous, enemies, and no amount of good works that we could do could change any of that. And again, the reason we needed to be reconciled is because having no spirit life is separation from God. We're separated. Thank you, Adam. You really screwed it up. The old nature that we were all born with does not have spirit life from God. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and that death is loss of spirit life. Adam had spirit life, lost it, and so death by sin, that's a loss of spirit life. And so death, that loss of spirit life, passed upon all men, all women, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death, loss of spirit life, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, have no spirit life, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, and that just simply means a total guilty verdict. We're all born with a guilty verdict. No spirit life. Ungodly. Sinners. Without God. Without hope in this world. That's the state we all came into. No wonder God had a plan for salvation and redemption. All the time and effort God put into it through the Old Testament to preserve the Christ line, bring Jesus Christ, so that we could get out of the mess that Adam put us all in. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. That life's the new life, spirit life within us. Therefore, 18, As by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, all women, unto justification of life. We've been made righteous. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We are right in the sight of God. When God looks at us, he doesn't see ungodly sinner, you worm, whatever they like to call. He sees his righteous child that he loves. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. My goodness. The old nature everyone's born with has limited life. But this new nature, every born-again one receives, it's eternal life for us. You're going to live forever, God said. Let's look at Ephesians 4. There's lots more we could look at in Romans, but let's look at Ephesians 4, those probably very familiar verses, but since we're talking about the renewed mind, this section about the renewed mind in Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off, that's something we have to do, put off concerning the former conversation or the former behavior, the old man. That's the old nature that we were all born with. Put off the former behavior of the old man, it's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind just means, you know, yourself. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit that you have, but it's the spirit of your mind. The renewing of the mind is in the mind, our thoughts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. That word put on is like when you put clothing on. You put your jacket on, which we've even forgot we own jackets. After living in 115 degree weather here, jacket, what's that? But it's like, it's the same thing as putting it on. It's something you put on. Put on the new man. Who is the new man? It's the new you. It's that new creation in you. It's that new nature that we've received. Well, how do I put him on? Well, in my mind. Well, what do I put in there? Who he is. And we've just read some stuff in Romans that I'm righteous. I have to put that on in my head. Well, I don't feel very righteous. I don't care what you feel like. It doesn't matter. Mom said, put your jacket on before you go outside. Okay, I'm righteous. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then that section in Colossians 3. Ephesians goes on to talk about, you know, putting off things and the renewed mind and a number of other things that we could read and we've read before, and then it gets into husbands, wives, kids, and all of that. But that's where that section kind of starts, and you can finish it out if you like. But in Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Just put that off. That's old man stuff. That's that old nature stuff. Get rid of that. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Get rid of the old man junk and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the new man, the new creation, the new you, the real you, your real identity. That's what we put on. Put the other junk off. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on. Oh boy, more work I got to do. Well, we don't have to do any work. We don't have to put anything on. We don't even have to open the book if we don't want to. I'm born again. Got my ticket. Christ comes back. I'm going. Okay. You could do that. But if that's all that we really needed was the ticket, to get into heaven. Why would God have his word written? Why would God, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service, and be not fashioned to this world, but be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why would God want us to do that? To keep us busy so we won't get in trouble? God wants us to have a blessed, victorious life, and he's showing us how. Put off the old nature, put on the new. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who we are, the elect of God. We're holy, we're beloved. Put on bowels of mercies. Be merciful to people. Kindness, be kind. Humbleness of mind. Check your ego at the door, will you? Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called into one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ, or the word that pertains to Christ, dwell in you richly. The only way it's going to dwell in you is if you put it in there. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, when spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's renewing of the mind. Go back to Romans 12 where we started. Romans 12, where we started. I want to show you one other thing here in Romans 12. This is kind of cool. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed or fashioned to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, every woman that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. This word faith, in Acts 17, it says, God has given assurance. And it's the same word, faith. God has given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. God has given faith unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. That's the same word, faith, here. And faith, as you know, normally is used as something we do. Believe, right? Believe. But here in Romans 12, as well as Acts 17, it's something God gave. Here it's God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And in Acts 17, God has given every man the assurance, the faith. It means the foundation that God has given for believing. That's the foundation for believing, in that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So here in verse 3, the measure of the foundation for believing that God has dealt to every man, to everyone, is what Jesus Christ accomplished. That's what we are to believe. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind, thinking soberly according to the measure of the foundation for believing. All that Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and me, that's what we're to believe. That's what we put into our head. Those are the thoughts we put into our minds, as opposed to being conformed or fashioned by this age. And we'll close in Romans chapter 8, that chapter that's just loaded. A Christian's spiritual life will be very limited if they don't renew their minds to who they are and what they have as a result of the new birth. You know, for example, the first verse of Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No more guilty verdict. If I don't know that, if I don't believe that, if I don't renew my mind, put that into my brains, how can I see myself as righteous in God's eyes? I'll be like some of those preachers tell me, ungodly, broken, sinner, guilty. You know, in verses 15 and 16, it talks about that we're children of God, where we cry, Abba, Father. If we don't renew our minds and put that information into our minds that He is our Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father, literally. If I don't renew my mind to that, how could I ever enjoy a close personal relationship with Him? I won't. He'll be distant. You know, then it talks about heirs of God, me? A joint heir with Jesus Christ, me? Sharing in the inheritance with Jesus Christ, that's what God said. You know, in verse 16, it talks about that God gave us His Spirit, and that Spirit is the witness. It's the proof to us that we are His children. It's proof. Whenever you, first time you ever spoke in tongues, spoke a language you did not know, how does that happen? That is a miracle. That's impossible. God gave us something where beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have proof that the Spirit's in us. If the Spirit's in us, then we must be that new creation. We must have all the things that God says we have, right? If I don't believe that, if I don't renew my mind to the point of manifesting it, it'd be very easy to be talked out of all of it. Well, maybe I'm not righteous. Well, maybe I'm not. In verse 18, God said that for us, there's a glory coming. A glory that's going to be revealed in us that is so great, it's so big, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with it. That's pretty big. Now, if I don't know that, if I don't believe that, if I don't renew my mind to that, then the sufferings of this present time can get the best of me. God wants us to live victoriously till His Son comes back. In verse 27, where it talks about making intercession for the saints, by way of the Spirit of God in us, by speaking in tongues. If I don't know or believe that prayer in the Spirit really does make intercession for my brothers and sisters, if I don't renew my mind to that, I miss a great opportunity to help my brothers and sisters. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God is such a great giver. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? God that made us righteous? He's going to be charging us with something? No. He could, but He made us righteous. Well, who's He that condemn us? Christ? That died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Is Christ condemning us? No. Then why don't you stop condemning yourself? Why don't you stop thinking thoughts of how much you missed the mark and should have done this and could have done that? Stop it. Who is He that condemneth? Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's mental pressure, distress, that's where you feel squeezed, like you're backed into a corner, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter, nay, 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 nay. In all these things, God says, you are more than a conqueror. Through Him, not through your own smarts, or my smarts. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The old man nature is not more than a conqueror. God gave us a new nature that is more than a conqueror. And then it says, for I am persuaded. You know, I thought about this morning. God gave revelation to the Apostle Paul to write all seven church epistles, right? We know that, yeah? So, I mean, think about it. He wrote them all. But I was thinking about the first time that God revealed to Paul some of these great truths about the new birth. You're righteous. You're forgiven. And how Paul had to renew his mind to those things. Me, I'm righteous. I murdered God's people. I'm really forgiven? I mean, he had to renew his mind to those. You know, we read these church epistles and we're like, wow, Paul wrote these. That's great. You know, we just picture Paul sitting down. God, all right, what do I write? All right, write down. Paul wrote God's word many years after the road to Damascus incident. He didn't go to the road on the, you know, the record in Acts 9 where he went to Damascus and met up with Jesus Christ. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. Really? Then 3 days later, Ananias laid his hands on him, right? Got his sight back. And it said he started preaching that Jesus is the Christ. And then he sat down and wrote all seven church epistles. No. It was many years after that, that he got the revelation to write the scriptures. He had to renew his mind, too, to these great truths that we do. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Without renewing our minds to this new nature that we have it. Can't lose it. It's there. Without renewing our minds to who we really are, what Jesus Christ accomplished for each and every one of us, what our true identity really is, our lives will be limited as Christians. The more renewing, the more transforming. The less renewing, the less transforming. And without renewing our minds, there will be no transformation and very little advantage to all the great rights, privileges, and abilities that we have. Even if we're a Christian. And it's our choice to put in the time and effort to do that. To put it into our heads. Ever felt not righteous before God? Probably not. Of course we have. Ever felt like those preachers talk about? You ungodly sinner, worthless, you don't. We're not perfect people. We do sin. We do fall short. We do miss the mark. And God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, it's our choice to put in the effort to renew our minds, and I believe that this statement is still true. The renewed mind is the key to power. Absolutely. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Father God, thank you for the abundance of information in your wonderful word about what Jesus Christ accomplished for all of us, who we really are because of the new birth. Thank you for giving us that new nature. Thank you for salvation and redemption and eternal life and all the great rights, privileges, and abilities that we have freely because of your grace and the completed work of Jesus Christ. How blessed we are. Thank you for your word that we can take the time to read it, to understand it, and to put it into our brains and then live it. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that nothing can separate your love from us. What a blessed people we are. And Father, as we continue to do our best to grow in the knowledge of your wonderful word, we look forward to that great day when you will send your Son from heaven to gather us together. Until then, we pray, Father, that you would help us. I pray for every person here in this room, for those on the hookup. Pray, Father, for health, strength, and Father, for continuing to grow in your wonderful word, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.